Hello and welcome to the iWave podcast, the Wavecast, where once a month we bring you fellow nonprofit leaders, fundraisers, and prospect development professionals together to share with you a brief moment of inspiration and motivation. Our dream here is that you spend 10 to 15 minutes in your day to enjoy a cup of coffee or a quiet moment or whatever is meaningful to you to get inspired and feel like you're a part of a community of great people like you doing really, really important work. I'm your host, Clay Buck. I'm the lead fundraising coach with iWave and founder of TCB Fundraising, and I'm thrilled that you're here. Thank you for making time for us today.
My coach, Rory Baden, says that you are best positioned to help the person you once were. So I want to take that in two ways. First is to say, having walked through the space of being a fundraiser in small shops and in medium-sized shops and whatnot, the first thing that I want to say to those of you that are listening to this is that no matter where you are in the nonprofit journey, find someone who will help you carry your burdens.
Mm.
So often, when I was a fundraiser, when I was a program officer, when I was leading teams, I would carry that burden myself and not ask for help, not let people in, and not share the load. And so what I would say to you is, first and foremost, find your people. Find the people that you can call, that you can rely on, that can help you through the difficult times. And the thing that I remember that I shared in a recent panel discussion is that leadership during the pandemic was really lonely, and it was a scary time, and it was a devastating time because I had to let people go that I did not want to leave the organization. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they weren't performing, but I had to tell them that they didn't have a job anymore, and that hurt. But I had to put on the brave face. I had to have that conversation and then carry on with the people who were still there. And I couldn't break down and cry in my office whatnot. And so I needed people to come alongside me and to share that burden. And you and several other people like you were in that corner with me. And so my first recommendation is really just find those people, let people in to be able to carry that burden. The second piece of this, of that quote from Rory, is that you are best positioned to help someone else who is in that space. So find help for yourself, right? Put on the mask yourself so that you can breathe the oxygen and that you can take a deep breath. Because I think that's someone listening to this needs that piece of advice right now. The second piece is put the mask on the person sitting next to you. Mm. Find the person who is in the place that you once were, and share the truth that you have walked through, the lesson that you have learned, the experience that you have had that you can help them with. And the other thing that Rory says that I'm still trying to like sink into my head because I'm not there yet, but it's so true, is that when your motivation to serve is primary, then things like imposter syndrome, they take a back seat.
How do you stay motivated? How do you focus on that goodness and bring that forward when you're trying to work through a really tough day?
So when the chips are down, I do two things. One, eat my feel. No, sorry.
I was going to say, when the chips are down, there are always chips.
We go get queso, right? I think the first thing is relying on your network. So it's so important to build a network of peers. You know, Clay and I talk all the time, but I also talk to other people that remind me why I do the good work, and why we fight the good fight. And then secondly, I think it's very important to take care of your self-care and your mental health yourself. It's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to get help. I have a lovely doctor I talk to all the time. It's okay to have some chips and queso. It's okay to feel your feels. I think what buoys me back up, what gets me re-motivated, is understanding that in the end, there are good people that want to do good things in the earth. And we far outnumber the bad people.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we far outnumber the bad people. I if I may, I just reiterate and echo exactly what you said. You and I know and believe that we are part of an amazing community, and there are always people in this community. And honestly, that's one of the goals with doing this podcast through iWave, is to build and bolster and support that community. So if you find yourself, if you're listening to this and you find yourself without someone to lean on, or without feeling you have a resource to go to, reach out to us. What's your word of motivation, of inspiration? What would you say to our colleagues out there listening today to keep them inspired and moving forward?
I would say maintain resourcefulness.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I came into this field in 2003, and mm-hmm. in a world where, if you consider that there are generations of prospect development people, the second and third generations were very much throwing things at the wall and just to see what would stick, and how we could go through and innovate and collaborate. And I think that's still the case even today. There are standards that have persisted, and over the past 20 years, you can go through and look, and we always come back to this middle of where the founders kind of created. So it's interesting in that way. However, in daily life and in daily work, and as we look to innovate and work, sorry, my 6 to 7 year old here with me.
No worries.
We're constantly standing on the shoulders of giants, and I think that is so important, especially for people who are coming into this field currently. There are an amazing trainings, all of the boot camps, if you will, for how to get into prospect research and management and development. There are, amazing. Jen Phil is doing amazing work with the Prospect Research Institute. They're amazing resources out there. But unless you can go to ground and understand your own background and use your own background, if you've ever bought a house, you understand how real estate works. If you've ever, if you have ever gone to an event and networked with people, you understand what the development officer is trying to do, that you have to bring those skills as well to the conversation. And I truly believe that the conversation between a frontline development officer and the prospect development team is a true conversation that continues. Mm-hmm. It's not, here's a report, go have fun. It's bringing the information back, use them as resources from the field.
What, Ross, would you say to the folks out there that are doing this hard work, that are out there fundraising every day on behalf of very important missions, communities, and people that really need help? What would you say to them as your words of inspiration, of motivation, as they continue to tackle and face these opportunities?
Well, I'll tell you, you kind of picked on part of it there, and that is, we know we're in a world today that's in constant change, and the needs of this world that we're in today are increasing and evolving at mm-hmm. such a rapid pace. And, missions out there, there's other things that are going on in the world that fill in certain gaps and what have you, and bring society and social need to bear. But there are so many gaps that aren't covered, and it's only through nonprofits, mm-hmm. healthcare foundations, higher ed education that is actually filling in these gaps. And I would just say, to everyone that would be listening here that are in the whole fundraising side of the business, and also in the execution of the missions and what is needed. We know, even from behind the scenes, some days it's a grind. This is not. And unfortunately, we live on planet Earth, and everything that we want to go do, most of it requires finances in order to enable things and make things happen. And I would just say, your hard work and determination are absolutely paying off, because it's paying off in the lives that you're affecting, and you're changing for the better. So, for our fundraisers out there and the people that are involved in the fundraising teams, you're raising funds in order to affect humankind. And to me, there's no greater calling on this planet than to labor, to support and serve others in need. We're called to that. And so I would just say, you know, simply put, like without you, our world's missions are not going to be able to execute on their respective plans and have the ability to change lives.
So from you, and especially coming from that finance background and that experience from you, what would you say to our colleagues out in the field that are fundraising and working in prospect development and working in all areas of nonprofit? What would you say to them in terms of motivation and inspiration and facing the work that we get to do it with the challenges of today?
So I think my primary advice would just get started, right? So under that fundraisers and our development teams out there, there's so many hats that you wear. There are probably not enough hours in the day, probably not enough team members on the team to get, in a 40-hour work week. And so what I think about as an investment manager in fundraising, is sometimes it can be overwhelming, the idea of starting an investment strategy or the idea of fundraising and talking about gifts of stock or the idea of a planned giving program or the idea of creating an endowment can be such an overwhelming prospect in to fit in with all of the other to-dos that need to happen. And so what we think about and what we talk with our clients and organizations about when you don't have those pieces in place, to take maybe a bite-sized approach and back off from the big strategy and the big plan and really just take one step to get started. And when we can take one step at a time, it's a lot less scary. So for example, when we think about setting up an endowment or establishing a forever fundraising strategy, there's often a belief that we need to have $1 million to get that started, or we need a large seven-figure gift in order to get an endowment started. And the reality of it is you need an investment account and $100 and something to talk about with your donors. And so that's a really small step that can make an overwhelming idea more practical and tactical.